at this moment in time. So God, we are thankful. We are humble before your throne. And we thank you, Lord God, for daily bread and sustaining us through a recession when we first started, through being evicted from out of our church years ago, through stumbles and mistakes, and even right now, Lord God, you've helped us through a pandemic, even through the worst of it, Lord God, and even during the summer, which is one of the most difficult times for all churches, no matter what season, and even in the good times, God, you have been faithful, you have been just, and you have been true. Release us now. Position us for the future. We depend totally on you at this hour. In Jesus' name, may us not only be hearers of the word, but doers. Amen. This morning's message or scripture is going to come from out of Acts chapter 20, verse 7 through 12. And it's in the New Living Translation. Acts chapter 20, verse 7 through 12. Once again, we'd like to welcome you to Divine Truth Christian Center, where God wants your dreams and visions realized. Where we love God and love people. I might have to change that around. Welcome to Divine Truth Christian Center, where we love God and love people. I think I might have to change that. Brother Ryan, I think you might have to change that. So let me change it again. Welcome to Divine Truth Christian Center, where we love God and love people. Acts chapter 20, verse 7 through the 12th verse, and it says in verse 7, on the first day of the week, we gathered with the local believers to share in the Lord's Supper. Paul was preaching to them since he was leaving the next day. He kept talking until midnight. The upstairs room where we met was lighted with many flickering lamps, not candles. As Paul spoke on and on, a young man named Eutychus, sitting on the windowsill, became very drowsy. Finally, he fell sound asleep and dropped three stories to his death below. Phew. Paul then went down, bent over him, and took him into his arms. "Don't worry," he said. "He's alive." Then they all went back upstairs, shared in the Lord's Supper, and ate together. Paul continued talking to them until dawn, and then he left. Meanwhile, the young man was taken home unhurt, and everyone was greatly relieved. Amen. The title of this morning's message is, Give It to God and go to sleep. Give it to God and go to sleep. Father, help me now put this message in context. In Jesus' name, amen. Give it to God, Brother Winsley, and go to sleep. After service. After service. Give it to God and go to sleep. Over the years, many a preacher have used this story about Eutychus falling from a windowsill because Paul preached hours upon hours to justify long-winded sermons. And to be fair, I can understand the reasoning because there are so many people who do not hear the gospel in everyday life. And sadly, at times, can go months, even years at a time without hearing it in some churches. We have 10 keys to this, 5 steps to that, different ways that your church will be functional, a couple of ways that it's not going to be working any longer. All of these things are things that you hear in churches on a regular basis, and now the new trend in a lot of churches are turning into leadership centers, business leadership, life skills. What's making a preacher different from a life coach? And there's nothing wrong with leadership skills and being a life coach and all of these things, which are out there in the world. They've been around there for years. We've had people like Tony Robbins and other individuals who've spoken before crowds and crowds of people, inspiring them to be a better version of themselves, but without the power of God. That's the season that we live in. And so once again, while this message has been something that preachers have used a lot, you know how we say, hey, if you could stay 3 hours in the movie watching Avengers Endgame, then surely, you could stay inside of a church all day, all night, in Lady Chester's voice and be in the house of the Lord. But we know that that's not the proper context. Sometimes there are moments when you're supposed to do that. And today you can actually be relieved that I will not do the same, even as I have been told by many and closest confidants, Lady Martin, that I don't have to talk for hours. My sons can also attest to you that Andre and Jaden know that Daddy can talk a long time. I could talk a long time, especially if they're not getting it. I try to talk them because actually my talking is supposed to be a buffer before their mother gets to them. I'm just trying to let you know what the deal is. So yeah, I could talk for hours, even though I'm a man of few words. I have my seasons and moments. So let me share with you the context of today's message. Paul, at the time the scripture was being penned about him, was traveling and preaching in Asia Minor, preaching the gospel, when he made a stop at this place called Troas. Troas is a city on the coast of Mysia and named after the ancient city of Troy, who, as legend has it, was conquered by the Greeks because of a Trojan horse. The Greeks were in a 10-year battle between themselves and the city of Troy. They call it a 10-year siege, and legend has it to where the Greeks, when they exhausted all different ways of trying to penetrate that tiny but powerful and rebellious nation, they then constructed a wooden horse. Some people saw it as a batting ram, but it was a wooden horse, or possibly a ship, that was seen as a gift at first, sailed in or moved in on wheels into the midst of the city, and then overnight all of the troops and all of the elite soldiers came from out of that same wooden horse and then brought the city to its knees. So a Trojan horse, which on the surface seems harmless, truthfully was designed to exploit a vulnerability. The vulnerability that I believe today, specifically speaking today, that is silently killing the people of God, is stressing and worrying about people, places, and things you have no control over at the end of the day. Amen. Look at the Divine Truth Christian Center, where we love God and love people. For sure. And this story is where we can learn a couple of things from this astonishing incident involving a young man named Eutychus, who literally gave it to God and went to sleep. Make it plain, Pastor Bart. I'd like to hear. Here we go. Did you know that there are some effects of not giving it to God and resting in His Word and stressing over things that you cannot control? This is also for my kids that are also in the congregation today and our teenagers. As you go through this season of your life of a pandemic where you cannot even go to a prom, you can't go to senior day, you cannot go to a moment in time where all of the football players and baseball players and basketball players come there for homecoming, it has all been postponed. Even college sports has been postponed. The NBA is inside of a bubble. It's different. It's stressful. Some of you believe that you've been in the house all year long, and truthfully, it's been that way. Since March, you've been in home and at home all year long. I have cabin fever like you would not believe. It got so bad where Lady Martin and I just wanted to go somewhere just for one day and then come right back just to get out and breathe a little bit without people looking at us crazy. Stressing. You know how the saying goes, too blessed to be stressed. Well, I want to teach you this morning how to be blessed and stressed without it killing you. And to the person that just sneezed, it's not corona. I have to help you. Everything ain't corona. You might be drinking one. Stress. So today's message is not supposed to be super duper serious because I want you to feel less stress. Now, when it comes to sin, yeah, that could be stressful, but usually that could be self-inflicted. But the stress that I'm talking about, the effects of not giving it to God, staying up all night, worrying about things that you can't control. Look at the following effects of stress and worry. Number one, it sends the imminent doom that you're going to go outside and die any moment in time. Oh yeah, little faith. Panic attacks, been there, done that. Depression, listen here, headaches, irritability, stop bothering me. Roll over. Stop taking all the cover. Turn the TV down. And it's at level 2. Be quiet. Siblings fussing with each other. How come you'll never put no toilet paper in here? Irritability. You don't got to say any names. Just say amen. Oh, paper bags. Oh, paper bags gone. Well, good job. Good job. Good job, community services team. Amen lights. Amen walls. Y'all been faithful for the whole time. It also includes heart pounding, a loss of upset stomach ulcers. My dad used to warn me about that all the time. He said, son, don't be worrying so much or you're going to get ulcers, which are like holes in your stomach because of the amount of acid that's building up in your gut and it starts eating away at the lining of your stomach. Stress, internalized, thinking too much. High blood pressure, fatigue, and then last but not least, the loss of a desire to have lovely relations. That's the best way I can put it. All of those things can actually, or are a result of, stress and worry. You just don't want to do nothing else. Or you're taking it, and it seems like you're being stoic. Seems like you, a man or woman of God, full of faith, but in reality, you're worried about some serious things going on in your life, many of which you have no control over. So what do you do with that? Well, this is where the Word of God has some keys or answers, if you will. Acts chapter 20, verse 7 through 12, we're going back to this astonishing, remarkable story in the Bible. And once again, I'm not going to try to justify preaching 3 hours. No, not at all. I'm trying to discipline myself to just do 45 minutes consistently. But don't worry, Lady Martin will just slightly just look at me like this. So I'm trying to discipline myself. Because I want to be able to say messages and speak messages of quality and substance versus length. Because sometimes when a preacher preaches really long, it's because he doesn't have anything to say. And he's hoping that somebody will catch something somewhere. And I believe that even as Paul was talking all day long and even into the dusk. But he was actually imparting to them wisdom, knowledge, and understanding about the things of God because he knew that it would be his last time coming to the city because many months and days hence after that, he would die. So he was basically giving a farewell message. So the context that he was speaking in the verse was unique and plain. So let's go back to the verses again. Hopefully you'll see the verses on your screen at home. And it goes in Acts chapter 20, verse 7 through 12 verse in the New Living Translation. And it says as follows. On the first day of the week, we gathered with the local believers like us right here, talking together, not on phones, not on devices, but actually paying attention to and listening to the word of God. And at that time, they were sharing in the Lord's Supper. Paul was preaching to them, and since he was leaving the next day, never to return, he kept talking, kept preaching, kept teaching until midnight. That's a long time. That's a long, long time. This is one of those times where you go to the store and then come back. The kids start getting fidgety, and they start looking around, going into the hallways, going down to that ice cool water fountain that's brown and silver at the bottom of the church, the old Baptist church, and drink from it 400 times so they could go to the bathroom 400 times to escape the hearing of the preached word. And those are the saved ones. When it comes to the unsaved, you might as well forget it because they tuned out as soon as they came into the door. They're just there because it's something that they've done with tradition and what grandmama always taught them to do. And so that's what Paul was doing. He was talking a lot. And as apostle of Jesus Christ, I believe that what he had to say mattered. And so what's the lesson right here? Well, if you notice within the text, it talks about how it's the first day of the week being Sunday, and they gathered together as local believers to share in the Lord's Supper. So it was a time of fellowship and communion. This is the before picture. This is what you should be doing before the stressful incident comes about. Hope you get this. Here's what I mean. Fellowship with other believers is important to keep stress and worry at bay. Have you ever been around a group of friends that help you forget about what's going on just for a moment? I was going to tell my kids, hey, you know, we're doing this, that, and the other, and based on our schedule, we may not be able to pick you all up for church this particular morning. And then both of them were like, I want to go to church. I was like, what? You want to go to church? And I don't know if it was there, if they were just really into God, if they just wanted to see their friends. Some semblance of community together. But young people, I want you to know, the reason why I'm not scorning that or picking on that is because it helps your mental health to help to see people not in your same house every day since March. Amen. Wednesdays, I know y'all love each other, but every now and then, you want to step out of that house and see some people that you're not related to and you don't have to answer to. You want to be able to speak to people and be able to say how you're doing. And then, in return, you actually want them to basically say, how are you doing? How the wife and kids? Ma'am, sir, how's everything going on up there? Pins, how the little round head baby do? Amen. And rest assured, as long as Amanda Penn is alive, she ain't gonna be gone for no 3, 4, 5 months. I can promise you that. She probably ready right now. But no, ma'am, you got to stay at the house. Got to stay at the house. None of us got kids that are 13, 14 years old and say, man, I can't come there. I just had a baby. It was an intended moment of shade. Y'all know how I do. So fellowship with other believers is important. So to my sons, Andre, Jaden, Jalen, all of y'all that ain't here, JT, the whole crew. To the Rodriguez family, Winsley family, Jordans, and all of the rest. It's important for us to come together to at least get one moment of time with God and his people. And the funny thing is that there's something special that actually happens. I'm going to take this from the secular world, from the scientific world. It's what I would call herd immunity. You missed it. if you've heard this term, herd immunity is this specific technique that some of the nations have used, whether wittingly or unwittingly, to basically allow themselves to get afflicted with whatever type of ailment is naturally and get over it, like with COVID, right? And what they basically are saying is that by using this particular methodology, you will basically have a lot more that will survive than not. They will build up immunity to the specific disease, which is really what always happens until it almost like 80% of the population actually gets it or comes in contact with it. And then over time, the human population builds immunity against this new introduction of a disease. But what this really means in the kingdom, and as far as the kingdom is concerned, is that there's strength in numbers. In other words, you don't need to be stressing and worrying to the point to where you feel like you need to do things alone. I understand that Pastor Martin has taught you that you need to go to God. Rather, give it to God or go to sleep. But you don't have to stay by yourself and give it to God. You get what I'm saying? We can all band together and talk it through. So yes, your problems may be uniquely your own. The job situation, the marriage situation, the health situation, the business situation, or trying to deal with your kids, teaching them online. I ain't never seen two boys take so many breaks during class in my life. I was like, y'all take that many breaks? Yeah, she just taking a break. One of the teachers just stopped. She said, just stop. She was like, I'll see y'all tomorrow. Lady Mom, where was this when we were coming up? Man, please. If this happened while we were young, we wouldn't have no internet. We would just be home, going outside, playing. We wouldn't be learning a thing. So some of these teachers, God bless y'all. Y'all going through this season and time. It will get better, and it will. So there's something about coming together. And once again, while your issues may be uniquely your own, and in some cases, you may even be the cause of your issues, still, there is something about hearing an encouraging word or getting your mind off of your problems and issues, if only but for a moment. Just for a moment. Because truthfully, when you come to the house of the Lord and among God's people, it really is a time to focus on God, not on that God-awful text message from your baby daddy that you don't even talk to no more. That's getting on your ever-loving nerves because you wonder, when are you going to pay child support? You got groceries to buy on Monday. Don't let those text messages bother you. Don't worry about whether he or she is going to text you back unnecessarily. It's going to be all right. Focus on God. Focus on what is going right at this moment in time. How do you think we've made it this far? This is a testament. You're living in a testimony of what it's like to allow for life to go on, even though it seems like people are dropping or staying home, dropping like flies, staying in home, sheltering and in place, letting the devil beat them up. Focus on God. Verse 8 says, the upstairs room, here's the next lesson. So the first lesson, you got it? First lesson means that there's strength in numbers. God's people were built to have herd immunity from the world, to not isolate themselves, to basically have fellowship and communion with one another. This is what you're supposed to do before everything pops off. Before the pandemic, this is what we practice, fellowship and eating together. The snack shack is just not to feed y'all after church only. That's part of it, but you know what it is? To stop you in the lobby from you putting up your finger and just whisking away out those doors. You got to get to know somebody. When people come to a church for the very first time, there's always going to be a moment when you're going to hide and just kind of feel people out, see if this is a good place, if this preacher is crazy or not, and all of that. But once that season passes, it's now time for people to get to know you. Find out about what's going on. Not to be nosy, but actually have a good self-interest of who you are and what you're all about to help you through life. Or maybe in turn, you help them because maybe you really got it all together. Maybe you've been through some storms and maybe you can help somebody who is struggling with their sail or put it in the proper position so they can go through the storms of life. So that's the first lesson, fellowship and communion. But then verse 8 says that the upper stairs room where we met was lighted with many flickering candles. No, lamps. Did you know, just in a practical sense, that it's important for you to keep the light on and not sit in the dark? My wife told me about this story about one of the football players that attended her particular school and then went on to the NFL about how he was in a toxic relationship with this young lady, or the young lady was in a relationship with this toxic man who was a football player at the university and then at where she attended and then went on to the NFL, and the relationship was so toxic. And this particular young man had her brain so bent out of shape that she would basically take foil, if I remember, and block all of the windows until they were pitch dark. It was garbage bags. It was garbage bags. And actually make them pitch dark during the daytime. She did that because that's what her soul was reflecting in that relationship. Dark. Deep in depression, sad, sorrowful. So keep the light on. You ever wonder the reason why little kids always like to say, Mama, Daddy, can you turn the light on in the hallway? Can you turn on the night light? Now that's a natural example of a spiritual truth. That even though this world is dark and it's looming, and the enemy is going about seeking whom he may devour, you should always keep the light of God on. Keep the light on. And don't sit in the dark. Here's what this means in plain speak. Did you know that having a clean and peaceful environment is necessary? You don't have to be rich to have your environment clean and peaceful. I hope you get that. You don't have to have a 15-bedroom house playing Cardi B and Megan Thee Stallion in the background for you to have peace. Matter of fact, that'll bring a lot of chaos, especially if you're a man. Let me go ahead and put this towel in myself a minute. Why y'all sniggling so much? Well, I guess they got YouTube as well. Having a clean and peaceful environment is necessary. When Lady Martin and I got married many years ago, we got an apartment right on Orlando, Bloomfield Drive. Remember that? Bloomfield Drive, she left. And it was our place. It was our house, one-bedroom apartment. I don't even think we had a bed frame. Maybe we did. It was just a mattress in the ground. That's it. But we still had a pot in. Hey, glory. Didn't have a care in the world, newly married. Not any real bills. I had a car. It was nice. And she had a car. We had our little jobs, and it was just peaceful. Our one little bedroom apartment and 12001 Bloomfield Drive in Orlando, Florida. It was peaceful and it was clean. We invited people over and they had nowhere to sit. But it was still like a Garden of Eden. I still wanted to come home. I remember I had a job in DeLand, Florida, and as a networking instructor back in the early 2000s, 2001, when we were staying in that apartment, and I would drive from DeLand to Orlando every day. I was working a split shift. It was 8 a.m. It was, what was the shift? It was 8 a.m. to 1 p.m. was the first shift. And then the second shift was 6 p.m. to 10 p.m. So it was 8 to 1 and then 6 to 10. And I did that for 5 years in a row. You could forget nightlife. My nightlife was on maybe a Friday, and then that was it. Throughout the week, couldn't go nowhere. Andre was born at that first particular phase and whatnot. And I missed him. I wanted to see him, spend time with him. And so I wanted to try to make a shift. But that was what it was at the very beginning. Matter of fact, that's how Andre came into the world, because we were at peace. And it was like the Garden of Eden. No headboard, none of that stuff like that was around. Why y'all laughing so much? I'm just being transparent. Got to tell you history. Maybe you make it to 20 years too. So it was like a Garden of Eden. The Garden of Eden is not about monetary value. Garden of Eden and peace in your home is really a mind state. Can you have peace even though you're not in the house that you want just yet? Kids, teens in the back, can y'all be at peace even though you don't have the name brand, whatever this is? Especially now, ain't nobody looking at you anyway. Can you be at peace? Can you be calm? Can everything be all right? I believe it can. Keep the light on. Once again, having a clean and peaceful environment is necessary. I'm trying to help you. That's not worry and stress. In other words, bright colors. You can change that. Did you know that just a gallon of paint is like $10 or $15, $20? That's it. Bright colors. Open up the windows. Going outside and beholding the beauty of God, rain or shine. Your house may have issues and problems. Brother Jordan, these things could all be happening even right now, but you can always open up the window and look out at a nice blue sky. And look at the sun. Look at the flowers. Go to Home Depot, and even if you can't afford a big old giant bush, a hibiscus bush, you could get you one nice little flower and plant it right there in front of your yard and just look at it and behold what God's creation is all about. It helps you get through stressful times. Well, preacher, that's your problem. Mumbling and complaining people don't get blessed. Trying to get closer to the light so I can hear them say amen. Mumbling, complaining blocks blessings. Mumbling, complaining stresses the people around you. So don't sit in the dark. That means that naturally and also means that spiritually. Don't sit in the dark and just sit there. You are like a flower. You are like a living creature. And if you don't get the sun light in your life, you will wither and die spiritually. In the natural, put some bright colors in the house. Get a can of paint. Open some windows. Go outside. See the beauty of God. Do not sit in the dark. The reason is that the child of God is admonished to walk in the light. Look at it as it says it in this word. Psalms 18 verse 28 says in the New King James Version, "For you will light my lamp. The Lord my God will enlighten my darkness." Keep the light on. But I also have another lesson. The first one was fellowship and communion. The second one is keep the light on and don't sit in the dark. And the next one, plainly, is that everything isn't so serious. In other words, what you perceive as a dire situation in your eyes is not always a dire situation in God's eyes. I hope you get this. Verse 9, and I'm almost done. As Paul spoke on and on, a young man came named Eutychus, sitting on the windowsill, listening to the word of God. Listening. And hearing faith-filled words in their ears over and over again was so important. He became very drowsy. Y'all remember that one time, a couple of times in church? Yeah, I know at least in this church, I've heard a yawn so loud until it made my ears rumble. It happens. And that is exactly what this young man did. He started getting woozy. Because the man was preaching so long. Paul who saw Jesus in his glorified body. Paul, the same Paul that saw Jesus on the way to the road to Damascus, the one that saw him get knocked him off his high horse. The same Paul that looked upon people and they got their bones together at the gate of beautiful. The same Paul that wrote 3/4 of the New Testament, and people were still yawning at him. Are you done? I need another distraction. And so this young man was actually interested in the word, but he was just tired. He was sitting at the windowsill, feet just dangling off the edge. I feel like sit-ups not dangling off the edge. So the feet were just dangling off the edge, listening to the word of God, preaching, and it's about 3 stories up. And I'm like, okay. So his feet were not sitting outside of the window because they weren't preaching outside, right? Right, the word of God says that they were inside, upstairs in the upper room. So that means that his back was to the window and his feet and all this stuff was looking forward. He was listening to Paul in the windowsill, like 227, the people in Brewster Place sitting right there in the windowsill. And then as the word goes forward, whoo, and he falls 3 stories and dies. Repeated verse 9, and as Paul spoke on and on, the young man named Eutychus, sitting on the windowsill, became very drowsy. Finally, he fell sound asleep and dropped 3 stories to his death below. So he died in his sleep. Paul went down, watch this, bent over him, took him into his arms, and told everybody, "Don't worry, he's alive." So Paul actually saw this man be brought back to life by God. Paul didn't bring him back to life. It was the spirit that God, of Paul, or the spirit that Paul had, the spirit that was on the inside of him, which was the Holy Spirit. This Holy Spirit that was so strong to where Ananias and Sapphira, when they lied to Peter and them, that they died flat-footed. The same spirit that rose Jesus from the dead, rose this young man from the dead because he gave it to God and went to sleep. This is the type of unbothered that you really want to be. You know that term unbothered? So unbothered, that's kind of like, see, ladies like to put it unbothered. If you're a guy and you put that, I'm be looking at you kind of sideways. But when a lady says unbothered, that means that you're not sweating the issue. And this young man was so unbothered, he just heard the word of God, started having those dreams, and he fell to his death. He died in his sleep. So what's the lesson about all of that? See, to you, you may think, man, he really preached a long time. You're killing us, Doc. You're killing us. Keeping us in church all day. And that's partly true. Sometimes you don't need to say a whole bunch. I'm learning that later, Barnum. I'm getting better over the years. Sometimes you don't need to say a whole lot. Just say what you need to say, and if you don't have nothing else to say, sit on down. Study more next time around. Just keeping it real. But the truth of the text basically says this, and that it looks serious to everybody else because this is a believer. He was young. He was faithful. But whatever is a dire situation to you is not always a dire situation to everybody else. You ever get an inbox? Oh, God. What's wrong? I didn't get a chance to go to the grocery store. You got some money? And you know, it really used to irritate me, especially in ministry, when I would sometimes feel like the ministry is killing me, and I would reach out to Prophet Alexander. And he would be like, "You all right? I need more than that. You all right?" But then over the years, I learned that it actually was true. And everybody needs a time to vent, but sometimes you really need to give some situations to God and go to sleep. You know what the truth of the matter is at a deeper level? People at times will give the appearance, or in our modern times, the impression that they are dying and that the whole world is spinning out of control, especially with this COVID situation. My wife and I were looking at a particular newscast, and there was this one particular counselor who does marriage counseling, and she was basically saying that before the pandemic, she would only see about 3 or so couples a week. And then during the pandemic, it went to 10. Because y'all are spending so much time with each other, you sick of it. It's like our kids. Look at my son, Jay, and I don't know what he's doing on the front row right now. Sit back. Thank you. I gave you a chance. Deacon gave you a chance. I gotta tell you. You good? I love you. So sometimes you just get sick of it. And I know the kids, they be sick of us too. And so the reason why there was a spike in all of these counseling sessions is because there was issues and problems that they were finding out about each other that normally they wouldn't find out because their jobs were in the way. And these are people who are working from home, but now they're finding out that, hey, I don't want to see you all the time. I don't even want you in the room, even when you have separate places. Sometimes I want you to just be away. And I know this. They're like, why are you laughing so much? Well, the truth of the matter is that over the last 22 years, sometimes you need space out of the house from each other. And if they don't call, that means that you're good. We'll check in. But it's been a spike. And sure, there are times when you need to react. Other times, it's best to be still and let things play out. Lady Martin and I, especially myself, I'm learning that as I get older and as the weeks and months and years go by in ministry, I've learned to let things play out and just give it to God and go to sleep. And my wife will tell you, I used to worry a lot during the first 5 years of ministry, a lot. So bad, so until you thought my hair accelerated. No, my hair accelerated in its reduction the first 5 years of ministry because we were going through a recession. We came out of a serious situation of church hurt. I was in the first 5 years of our ministry. A lot of people don't know this, but I was in personally, not Lady Martin, but I was in chapter 13 bankruptcy. So I was getting 90% of my check taken every single month for the first 5 years. Yeah, I said the same thing too, but it wasn't dang. It was the other word. One old preacher told me it's like when you save, you allow 3 cuss words a year, and I already know all y'all like to y'all 10th right now. Especially during the pandemic. So I used my 1 for that particular time. I remember beating the table. I was upset, and I had other financial obligations, and it feels like the world was just crashing in on every side, and I had a moment in the flesh, and Lady Martin looked at me, and she was like, now, wait a minute. Now, wait a minute. It ain't that bad. I was like, it is bad. I'm tired. I'm sick of this. That's how I felt. So when you guys go through your situations, the reason why sometimes I may be like Paul and say, don't worry. He's alive. It's because the truth of the matter is that sometimes you have to let things play out. And sometimes you can't rescue a person out of a specific situation. You can just hear them out. Did you know that when it came to Eutychus, God, here's the truth, didn't keep him awake. God didn't stop the fall. God didn't keep the person from hitting a hard place. But God did keep him alive through it all. And even when others thought that he was dead, he was able to bounce back, still content, and went back to kingdom business as usual. Here's the truth of the matter. Your assignment is to meet people where they are. Remember, Paul said that the word says that Paul went downstairs and held the young man He first bent over and then held the young man. And so when people are going through stressful times, the best thing to do is not judge them, but to meet them where they are. He didn't yell out the window and be like, oh, he's alive. That's what those are people do on Facebook. You all right? A like. A like is like you seemingly as if, given the picture that you're actually involved when you're really not. It's like you basically saying hello from a distance. Oh, they're alive. They're all right. Time to give. Oh, they're all right. Everything looks fine. They're alive. That's the society that we live in. But Paul didn't do that. He did what Jesus did. He came just like the woman who was caught in adultery. And then he began to write the sins of all of the Pharisees that were getting ready to stone her inside of the sand. And all of them began to walk away because he began to reveal to them their dastardly hearts. And so Paul did the same thing. He didn't yell out the window, hey, you all right down there? No, no, he came and he went downstairs, lifted the young man up, and simply said, he's alive. God didn't save him falling out the window. God didn't save him as he was falling down to the ground. God didn't even save him when he died, but he brought him back again. And so this morning, you may feel like your situation is so stressful until it feels like you're dying. But my assignment, as well as many of yours who have been in ministry for any length of time, our assignment is to meet people where they are. But not only that, confirm that they are alive and carry on and not worry. You're going to make it. It's going to be all right. Family, it's going to be all right. Stop stressing. Stress is affecting you more than the situation. The situation is just standing at you flat-footed and waiting to see if you're going to break. And watch this. Just because you're quiet doesn't mean that everything is cool and you're handling it well. Remember, when you stress, you get headaches, ulcers, fall into depression. You want to sit in a dark room, listen to dark music. You get irritable. You want some food, baby? I cooked a nice dinner, four-course dinner for you. I don't want that. Give me Chipotle. Give me McDonald's. Something that could kill me. I don't want nothing healthy. Stress. Worry. Verse 11 says, then, this is the part that got me. After Paul came down, met him where he was, confirmed that he was okay, notice what they did afterwards. Did they just continue to console the young man? No. Then they all went back upstairs because everybody came together and be like, you all right? You all right? And see, that's what the church family is supposed to do. The church family is supposed to rally around the person that's going through. But then after we find out you're okay, then what are you supposed to do? Go back upstairs. Get back to kingdom work. Let's go back to hearing the word of God. Then they all went back upstairs, shared in the Lord's Supper, and ate together. Paul continued to talk to them until dawn, and then he left. He didn't say, Eutychus, are you all right? Do you want me to stay around a couple of more days? No. Eutychus was full of the word, died in his sleep, and God brought him back. Everybody around him was stressing because it was a serious thing. But Paul didn't stress, and God definitely didn't stress. Matter of fact, Eutychus wasn't even stressed. People were more worried about him than he was worried about himself. God didn't rescue him from falling out the window. God didn't rescue him from, he didn't keep him from falling out the window, didn't rescue him or stop him from falling. Didn't even lessen the impact of the situation. And I'm sure that he was probably embarrassed, and God didn't save him from that either. The only thing that God told Paul to say is that he was alive. So if you see me or Lady Martin or any of the saints check on you, we're just trying to check to see if you're alive. But that doesn't mean your circumstance or the situation will change. Sometimes you got to go through. And as you go through, you'll get stronger. If the situation has your stomach and has your guts burning out, that means that you probably need to stop using that approach. You don't need to take that class anymore. I remember one time I went through a breakup in my college years that was so bad, I lost 20 pounds. Lady Martin, break up with me. You get it?
She said, no, you ain't gonna leave me.
Okay, good.
So I was worrying that much about what was going on in my personal situation. I lost 20 pounds. I wouldn't eat. I couldn't eat, baby. Couldn't sleep, baby. I butchered that song. I know I did. But that's what I was going through. I was worrying that much about somebody who didn't want me no more. And what was I going to do? Make them? I tried. And it didn't work out too good. I saw her going down the road with another dude. So you can't make people love you. I know what Jennifer Holliday says. You're going to love me? I'm going to make you love me? No, that's not how it goes. If you got to make somebody, they don't love you at all. Two people got that. And so after you learn the lesson of communion, after you learn the lesson, and I'm done. Come on, Al, I'm done. Don't sit in the dark. And the situation is not as dire as you think, especially to God, even though it's a situation that looks like it's a, or feels like a near-death experience. Sometimes you got to let things play out. Sometimes the only thing that Pastor Martin can do is pray for you. How many of y'all have just followed this whole worldly theme of enough with your thoughts and prayers? You know the whole theme of enough with your thoughts and prayers? That's what the secular people are saying now. It's almost becoming on par with Black Lives Matter now. It's not getting as much meaning as it once did. Because now it's seen as a retort, rhetoric, but no substance. But sometimes that's all that you can do, is to give it to God and go to sleep. When certain members leave the church and they know that this has been a church that has fed them knowledge, wisdom, and understanding, and we've seen them through storms, finance them when no one else would, and they still leave, or people find out that it's a good church. Sometimes people stay away from good churches because they're not messy like their last place. And sometimes these things bother a pastor psychologically. Why is it that I, just like Eutychus, why is it that I'm listening to the word of God and stuff happens to me? I'm in church and I end up dying before I even leave the building. I feel like I'm dying inside. I feel like I'm falling. I feel like I'm in some type of pitfall. And I'm here in the Word of God before a renowned preacher, apostle. Apostle Paul is here and he's with us on today. The Reverend Dr. Paul, don't know his last name, of Tarsus. And he is going to come and give a word with you, a word that will last all night long. And you still fall. And you feel like you're in a dying situation. But one thing I noticed in that last verse is that it's not only important to be in fellowship and to stay in the light and to not stress, but it's also important to stay in the word and hear the word and get back to the people of God after the storm has passed. So it says in verse 12, meanwhile, the young man was taken home unhurt, and everyone was greatly relieved. This teaches us that you should stay in the word as well as hear the word. Notice how the verse says that they basically came together after the incident, and the man of God continued his mission while they went on relieved and still holding on to God's word. He was making a deposit of faith for the pitfalls they all will face in the future. Anytime a preacher who normally doesn't say a lot starts to talk quite a bit, typically it's a moment of impartation, a moment where he's trying to fill you with something. And who knows that the words that was being filled in that young man's ears was the same word that got him up again. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was God, and the Word was with God, and that Word became flesh, and it dwelt among them. And that man, that young man, rose from the dead because God did it. If there's any place, here's a sign, y'all. If you need a sign to know whether God or not is not with you, just look around. Because this man fell and he was in a dying situation. But he was around God and the people of God to help him hold on. So what are the lessons here? Come on, stand to your feet. Hearing the word of God is necessary. It brings peace and settles your soul. It gives answers to life's most complex problems. If you go to pray.com and give them a nice little endorsement, my wife and I saw it this weekend on the television, it basically gives you soothing prayers to help you go to sleep at night. Because God loves those that he gives rest to. And then last but not least, it provides balance in a divisive and polarizing world. Don't get on Facebook, talk about some chiming in with people talk about who you choose, is it Trump or Biden? Knowing good and well that if you're black and you choose Trump, you done lost about 50 of your Facebook friends. I'm going with Biden. The devil got two sides. And you know it. Don't put all your trust in those things. Put your trust in God. In God. So don't get baited into all of those little, those are temporal things. Those are carnal things. It's important. Don't get me wrong, but those are carnal things. Politics, just like faith, is local. What's going on in your world? Don't be caught up with people you'll never meet in your life. And God is stronger than any president, any king that comes through this world. They all die and they all pass on. That's the truth. So as I conclude, we all have insecurities and vulnerabilities. The key is to not allow the enemy to exploit it. So no, ma'am, no, sir, isolation is not the answer. It may be safe to you, but I don't want you all to run into a situation where you got people cut off so much so until if you died in your house, nobody will even know for weeks. You want people to check on you to where if you don't show up to work, then you know there's something wrong. If you don't show up to church, then you know something's wrong. If you don't say anything, then you know something's wrong. And if somebody reaches out to you, don't be like, man, stop bothering me. No, that means somebody cares about you. And as saints in this place, for those of you that are strong in the faith, don't be thrown off if somebody's irritated by you keeping up with them. Don't be like, well, no. You back off, but you still pray for them, and you check in on them, even if it's a couple of words. Checking in, praying for you, and then that's it. You don't need to sweat nobody. Leave folk alone. They'll be all right. Give them a God and go to sleep. So isolation isn't the answer. Gather strength, then have one-on-one time with God. This is my advice to you if you're stressing at this time. Have one-on-one time with God, not me time. Me time is not what you need. Me time, God showed me this morning, is a trap. Me time is when you start devising wicked plans, because idle mind is a devil's workshop. You should have my time with God. That's what you do if you need to steal off and steal away and be by yourself. It's you and God, not just you. Because you will get you in trouble. You will go ahead and sign papers you ain't never had no business signing. You will go in there and make a decision that you have no business to make. You will convince yourself that a right thing is wrong and a wrong thing is right. But when you go into the situation with God, and he'll tell you something. Even if it hurts you, but ultimately it will help you. So my final verse today is this. And it sums up, give it to God and go to sleep. And it comes from out of Luke chapter 12, verse 22 through 31, and then I'm done. Then turning to his disciples, Jesus said, "That is why I tell you not to worry about everyday life. Whether you have enough food to eat or enough clothes to wear. For life is more than food and your body more than clothing. Look at the ravens, look at the birds. They don't plant or harvest or store food in barns, for God feeds them. And you are far more favorable and far more valuable to him than any birds. And if worry can't accomplish a little thing like that, or can all, or here's the quick piece, I'm sorry, verse 25. Can all your worries add a single moment to your life? Anybody in here? Anybody in here got taller by worrying? Did worrying bring the job to you any faster? Did worrying make him or her act right? Lady Martin, I'm preaching to myself. Did worrying bring people back to church? Not at all. People do what they want to do. And when people are in the mode of doing whatever the hand fed they want to do, you give it to God and you go to sleep. I want to give it to God so much so that I want to rest in God just like you to church. Where I'm just hearing the word of God and I have no consideration over my life. But I know that God will see me through the entire time, through the time of darkness, through the time of the fall. Even when I hit that rock bottom and hard place, I know that God has my back. And verse 26, and if worry can't accomplish a little thing like making you taller or putting money in your bank, what's the use of worrying over bigger things? Elder Winsley, look at the lilies and how they grow. They don't work or make their clothing, and they don't get wick checks either. Yet Solomon in all his glory was not dressed as beautifully as they are. And if God cares so wonderfully for flowers, come on, y'all, that are here today and then tomorrow thrown into fire, cut down and burn, or wither away because of the sun, certainly he will care for you. Why do you all have so little faith? Maybe the word of deliverance is just leave them alone. Leave them alone. They ain't coming back. Leave them alone. Y'all had a kid together. Guess what? That's not who God called for you to be in your life. Leave them alone. I remember I'd be so desperate for jobs, places that have turned me down, and I would call back just to try to make them give me a job. And they're looking at the phone like, man, what is this? What are you doing? This is not normal. But out of desperation, that's what I would do. And I don't want y'all to be thirsty like that. Don't be thirsty after no man, no woman, no job, no finances. Thirst after God. Because when you're desperate, guess what? You're vulnerable. And when you're vulnerable, the enemy can creep in and destroy your life. And if God so cares wonderfully for flowers that are here today and thrown into the fire tomorrow, verse 28, he will certainly care for you. So why do you have so little faith? And Jesus goes on to say in verse 29, and don't be concerned about what to eat or what to drink. Don't worry about such things. These things dominate the thoughts of, watch this, unbelievers all over the world. You don't need to act like them. No disrespect against people who are not saved, but they react to things like the world reacts to them. Their response to COVID is warranted. Yours as a child of God should be wise, but not hysterical. It should not be, not when you have the most creative entity being and all of the universe on your side that's been with you from your very first breath up until now. He ain't gonna leave you. He's not gonna forsake you. So don't let these things dominate the thoughts of unbelievers all over the world. Your Father in heaven already knows your needs. So seek the kingdom of God above all else. That's what you do. And he will give you everything you need. Let's pray. Father, we thank you. We honor you. We bless your holy name. Thank you for teaching us how to love you and also to love people. I pray a special prayer for those this morning that are looking for employment, are looking for an elevation in their current position that will yield additional finances. Lord God, I'm praying for those that do have jobs that will learn how to manage the money that they do have and not be wasteful or impulsive. Give them wisdom now in the mighty name of Jesus. And Lord God, if they're in a waiting pattern or in a holding pattern and they're wondering about today or tomorrow or just tired of waiting or tired of doing the right, Lord God, give them strength so that they can go another further. so they can make it, so they can continue to press forward and not make a bad decision that will hold them back for years. Let our minds be in you and on you. Let's meditate on the word. And let us not worry about things that we cannot control. In Jesus' name, amen. Divine truth, give it to God and go to sleep. Stop tripping. It's going to be all right. Stop worrying. The business is going to take off. Stop worrying. He's going to act right or she's going to act right. If it's in the will of God, it's going to happen. You got to be patient. And if God says no, it's time for you to move on. You got to move on in every area. You can't hold on to 20 years waiting for will you marry me? It's just a piece of paper. No. Don't let that. So I love you, and there's nothing you could do about it. So turn forward and say, love God,
love God.
And love people.
Love
be blessed, people.